gardening tips on Basingstoke Community Radio with the garden editor, Claire.
Once again, it's a Tuesday morning, and on the telephone, we've got Claire, the garden editor. Good morning, Claire. How are you?
Good morning, Dave. I'm very well. Thank you very much. How are you?
I'm all right. What have you done with this weather?
I know. I do feel a bit guilty, really, because I did go away and it was very nice weather. But I think it was nice weather here, too, because I didn't go very far. And now summer's disappeared again and it's very windy and it's very cloudy. And I'm a bit, you know, a bit niffed off with it, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah.
How about you?
I thought Monday was a bit cold, actually.
Well, yeah, it is a bit colder.
The wind made it a bit cold, didn't it?
Yeah, I'm doing a community volunteering project at the moment, a planting project, and I've said to everyone we're meeting at 8 a.m. in the morning to get some of the heavy work done before the heat of the day starts. And this morning on a Monday morning, we were there at 8 o'clock in the morning. I was like, where's the heat of the day, Claire? I'm flipping freezing. So thank you to all the volunteers who came out and helped.
Yeah, absolutely. Right, Claire, we're talking about tall plants, aren't we?
We are indeed. We are indeed. Because one of the things I find when I'm designing people's borders and beds is it's really easy to think in 2D. Like, think, where have I got a gap and how do I fill it? And a lot of the tricks about making your garden look full and look really spectacular is thinking in 3D or even 4D, but we'll come on to that another day. But thinking in 3D, so thinking about height as well as spread and depth. Mm-hmm. And that is where tall plants come in. Not shrubs and trees. I'm talking about things which will die back in the winter, but things which will give you a lot of what we would call mass, a lot of verticality. And this can really make your designs and your kind of garden look really quite spectacular. So I thought we'd just run through a favourite few ones of mine that I use in some of my work.
Yeah.
And I'm going to try and vary it. So if people have got shade or sun or really good soil or really poor soil, hopefully there will be a plant in here which might work for you. So a quick trick question for you, Dave. Where do you put tall plants? In the middle, the back, or the front of a border?
I'd put it at the back, actually.
Yeah, yeah. And quite often we're looking for what's called a layered look, where you have your taller plants at the back, medium plants in the middle, and your lower plants right at the front. And that works. And that's the kind of the general rule. But like all rules, they're great if you break them sometimes. So I'll introduce you to some plants where you actually don't plant them at the back, you plant them nearer the front as well. So let's get cracking, shall we?
Yeah, let's do that.
Right. Okay. So we're going to start with a really hard one for everyone who thinks I can't plant anything in my garden. So what if you've got a garden which has got quite a lot of shade and you've got clay soil, so really quite heavy soil, which might be very wet in winter and dry and cracky in the summer. And there, the plant I like to use is something called Actaea. And the common name is bugbane. And these have purple, almost chocolate-like, really big leaves, almost like rhubarb-style leaves from spring onwards. And then they grow and grow and grow to about 150 centimetres. That's up to about 4 foot. And then they throw out these really big white flower spikes in autumn. And they smell delicious. And I think it's a great plant because it's got about 4 or 5 months worth of interest. So it sits there in your garden from about spring onwards with this lovely foliage looking glorious. And then if we get that lovely Indian summer and you want to have one last barbecue or one last mooch around your garden, you get these lovely elegant spires which smell delicious. There are some which one cultivar is called Chocoholic, and I'll bet you can't guess what that smells like.
A chocolate, would it be chocolate maybe?
It is, yeah, it smells of chocolate. And these are great plants for if you've got that really quite moist and heavy soil, because they do like it a bit moist. So if we had a drought, they might be looking a bit crispy now. But I have to say, most of the Actaeas I've seen around the place are looking really, really lovely. So I've got great hopes for them. So it's one of my kind of climate resistant plants, because you're not trying to make it perform in the heat of the summer. It's kind of an autumn performing plant, but loads of season of interest. So that is for shade and rich soil. And that is called Actaea, A-C-T-E-A is how you spell it. I'm going to try and remember to do that, because otherwise I know some people say, what was that thing you were saying, Claire? I can't catch how you pronounce it. So that's plant one.
Okay.
Now, If you want something even taller than that, so even taller than 4 foot, and you've got a really big space, but you've also got this very rich soil and it might be really completely waterlogged in winter and really, really hard, you might think, well, I don't want to grow any tall plants because they're just going to fall over. How are they going to stay upright? Well, there I would introduce you to something called thalictrum. Now that's an interesting word. Thalictrum. Thalictrum. Well, the common word is meadow rue. And the clue is in the name. These grow in meadows, in kind of clay and part shade, part sun types of the country. And they don't have great leaves like the actaeas that we talked about earlier on. They have much smaller, finer leaves, but then they have really dark, tall stems which erupt out of the ground. And then right at the top, you have tens of thousands of tiny little starburst flowers like fireworks, which are in purple or yellow or white or pink. And it just looks like this absolute froth of mass, almost levitating above the rest of your plants. And I grew some in a client's garden this year, and they were. I mean, I'm quite tall. I'm nearly 6 foot, Dave. These were 8 foot tall, and they were still standing without any support or anything like that. They are brilliant for those wet winters. They just hoover up all that water and then splurge it out in this fireworky display. So, Ellen, Thalictrum Ellen is my favourite because she's got dirty, dirty, dark purple stems and these beautiful flowers. But there's a really funny one called Black Stockings as well, which is practically black in its stems and then has these bright, bright flowers in the end of it.
How
Have you
thick? How
ever heard
thick are
of
the
something like that?
stems on that?
So, not that thick, so about as thick as your finger. So,
All
it's
right.
incredible. It supports all this weight and all this biomass.
How does that stand up to wind then?
Well, it does because it's got a really good root system.
All
So when
right.
we're looking at tall plants, that sometimes they might need to be staked. That is kind of like a way of gathering them. But the ones which I really like in my low-faff approach are the ones which don't need staking. So the actaeas are fairly stable because they put up big leaves at the base, and that gives them a bit more anchorage. And the thalictrums have a really big root system, and that really, really helps them to kind of ground themselves. And because they've got tiny leaves and tiny flowers, the wind whistles through them. So it's not
Okay,
like a
yeah.
sail on a ship. So it kind of filters the water, the wind in that way.
All right, okay.
Yeah. Okay. So let's say, oh, Claire, you're talking about clay and shade, but my garden's in full sun. What can I have which is going to be tall and brilliant in my garden? So we have something called veronicastrum. I'm bringing out all the big words today, aren't I,
Well,
babe?
yeah. Oh, once you've
I know.
swallowed the dictionary again, haven't
I know, I always do, but
you?
I'm trying to give you the common name as well. So we've had thalictrum and
Yeah,
actaea.
we do common.
See, the problem is that sometimes if I know a common word, I think I'm not quite sure what it is because I might be talking about something different. But these are culver's roots. So again, they're a native, a lot of them are native species here. And these don't have flowers right at the top of their plant. They have almost like, oh, what is the Disney film where there's a load of dancing around a table with loads of candles on it?
Oh, is that a question? Oh God, I don't know.
I don't know.
No, I
I'm sure our
don't
listeners will know. I'm probably screaming at the radio now, but I'm not particularly great
I'm
on films, but
not really a Disney fan, really, so.
oh, sacrilege, sacrilege. But if you think about candelabras, you know, when you have those posh candle holders and they have like four or five candles and you kind
Yeah.
of have them. This plant looks like that. It has tall spires and then at the top you have these white spikes which come up with lots and lots of long candle-like flowers on the top of them. So it looks like you've got a most elegant dinner party going on, about 150 centimeters to 200 centimeters above the ground level.
In
And
your
this is a
garden.
really in your garden of all places. And this is one which is used a lot by designers. So if you see those ever those posh pictures of gardens which look amazing and full of wow factor, a lot of designers will use Veronicastrum as a signature plant and plant like loads of them. You know, we're talking 7, 9 multiples of 13 in big gardens to take up a huge amount of space. And it does that thing of occupying space, but then you've got a huge amount of colour and a huge amount of interest, vertical as well as that kind of horizontal spread as well. And you don't need to stake them too much. They catch the wind a bit more than the two plants we were talking about earlier on. And they tend to flower earlier in the summer, so they're kind of like a mid-summer flowerer. But they can cope with sun and they can cope with part shade as well. If you've got really, really rubbish soil, like I do in my new build, this isn't the plant for you. They do like it a bit better soil than the average one, but
That's
if you've
because they're
got new build,
posh.
it's because they're a bit posh.
Posh,
Yeah,
yeah, posh plants.
we'll come on to the plants like me in a minute, but yeah, these are the kind of plants. If you've got nice good soil and you just want to make a real statement, Veronicastrums are the plants for you for the back of your border. Or this one, you can bring it forward a bit because it's a little bit see-through, so you can always bring it a bit forward as well. So there we are. Right, okay. So what happens if you've got really poor soil? Can you grow anything tall if you've got really poor soil?
Sunflowers, probably. They're growing poor soil, aren't they?
Exactly, yeah.
I'd
Yeah.
say that was a
Well,
good guess, that, wasn't it?
it was a very good guess. So sunflowers do like a little bit of richness because they're an annual. So an annual plant has to go from a tiny, 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 tiny seed, like a sunflower seed that you'd eat, all the way to something over, taller than my head. So that does mean it does need quite a bit of moisture and quite a bit of food to do that. But there's something called Helianthus lemon queen, which is almost like a perennial sunflower, which means you just plant it once. You don't have to do this thing of every single year going round and planting your seeds up and potting them on and looking after them in the spring. You can just let nature do its thing. And Helianthus lemon queen, well, the clue's in the name, she is a pale yellow colour. So a lot of people think, I don't want yellow in my garden. I get that quite a bit, actually. People don't necessarily think they want lots of bright yellows, but this is a very elegant yellow. It's soft, it's like butter or a pale, pale lemon chiffon cheesecake type colour. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. When you're talking about food, it does. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's like that really nice lemon cheesecake colour, but it looks and acts like a sunflower, but you just plant it once. And that is a really good one where it can take a bit porous soil, it can take absolute full sun, and unlike annual sunflowers, it doesn't need quite so much water in which to perform. It can sometimes spread a bit, so it's very good if you've got a large area to cover, because it can really kind of just clump up nicely and take up a lot of space for not a lot of work, really. And
So
then,
all these plants, have you got another one there?
yeah, I've got one
I've
more, but
got, oh yeah,
go ahead
gone.
with your
Yeah,
question.
gone.
Go on.
No. Do that first and then I'll ask the question.
Okay,
I've written it down. I
so.
won't forget it.
Okay, good. So if you've got really, really poor soil, another plant which does very well and is very popular is something called Verbena bonariensis. Now, would you believe that in Latin weirdy words, bonariensis means Buenos Aires? So this is
Really?
a verbena from Buenos Aires. But us
Okay.
Latin weirdos pronounce it bonariensis. It's bonkers, isn't it? And this is a great plant for really poor soil and full sun. So it's very drought tolerant and it has square stems. So the stems are actually square if you cut into them, they're actually hollow in the middle, which means it can cope with a lot of wind because it's a fairly robust shape. And it has almost like 90-degree angles with little purple, tufty, flat round flowers coming off it. So it looks very architectural, very structural. And if the garden situation is nice for it, if it likes it and it's got lots of poor soil and lots of full sun, it repays you because it just self-seeds around the place and you can have as many as you want. So it's one of those plants that if you have one or two and it's happy, you can bulk up your collection for absolutely no money. And they're not too hard to get rid of, if they're not too difficult to dig out if you want to edit them into one particular space. And it's a really popular plant for great reason, and it's see-through. So this is one of the plants that I wouldn't necessarily always tuck at the back of the border. You can bring it forward because it's very see-through. You don't have any big blocking stems, and you can put it in the middle of a border, or even sometimes at the front, and then have things seeing through it and have this kind of like fluffety purple gaze through to see your other plants. Sounds a
Well,
bit bonkers, but trust me,
there's another good
it's a
word you use there, fluffity.
just that I do. I, you
Yeah.
know, I think it's not an official word, but I'm campaigning
Yeah, and I'm,
vehemently
yeah,
to
that's
make
right.
it.
Yeah. Get in your Oxford English Dictionary, fluffity.
But you know what I mean when I say fluffity, don't you? It's quite understandable what kind of texture it's giving.
Yeah, cotton
I
wooly
think so.
type fluffity.
Exactly. That's
Yeah,
it.
see?
So anyway, so those are my five top tall plants. So everything from full shade with really, really good rich soil, all the way to things which will cope with full sun and really, really poor soil.
So my question then, I was going to say, is all these weird and wonderful plants, you get them lo can we get by them locally just from a normal nursery,
Yes.
or has it got to be somewhere
Absolutely.
special, or?
No, so for example, Verbena bonariensis you will find in pretty much every single garden store going. The Basingstoke Mencap they do great plant sales, and I'm
Oh, they
fairly
do, don't they?
certain that,
Yeah, over at Elizabeth Road, is it? Over Southam? Yeah, Elizabeth
So it's
Allotments,
always
isn't it?
worth asking in places like that, because it's something that if people have got them and they pot them up,
Yeah.
you can get them quite easily on local plant fairs. But at Hardie's, where I work, we sell all of these plants locally. We do click and collect, or you can just turn up and pick them off our shelves. But a lot of these you should be able to get locally. Some of them might be a bit trickier to get than others, but there's nothing wrong with just writing down the names and seeing, just putting them into Google and seeing what comes up. But you know, the Dummer Garden Centre has quite a few of these things as well. Wolverton Plants is a really great place as well, which I go and get some plants from. So, and I'm sure listeners have got their own favourite places as well they go to. So let us know if there's any particular hidden gems, because I love finding out about new places to go and buy plants and you know, indulge my inner geek.
Right, okay. So that's tall plants for this week then. Before you go, what is your song for this week, please?
Well, as I'm quite tall and I thought we were doing tall plants, I thought there's only one real contender, isn't it? So my song for this week, Dave, I would like to have Long Tall Sally by Little Richard.
Thank you very much, Claire. We'll see you in a couple of weeks' time. We'll be talking to you then.
We will indeed, and I think what we'll do is we'll do short plants. So if
Okay.
you've got any preferred or tricky areas for ground cover plants, just let us know and we will make sure to pick them up.
All right. We'll do that in 2 weeks' time. Thanks for joining me this morning, Claire. Have a good
No
week.
problems.
Speak to you
And you
soon.
too.
Bye-bye.
See you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Gardening tips on Basingstoke Community Radio.